The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Hedge fund manager, Mets owner Steve Cohen telling CNBC's Squawk Box earlier today that this era of artificial intelligence reminds him of the 90s. But does Silicon Valley agree? Deirdre Bosa, of course, with that story for today's Tech Check. Morning, Deirdre.
Hey, good morning, Sarah. And the short answer is yes. Which year of 90s we will talk about, but a lot of what he said is what Silicon Valley has been talking about for months, from productivity and efficiency gains to it feeling more like 95 than 99. Here he is on the ladder.
I don't see it as a bubble. I mean, I think the markets are discounting some of what they think AI is going to do for companies.
You think it's discounting?
Discounting.
There's even more upside a result to AI?
My view is this is a really durable theme. I'll give you one little anecdote. My CTO comes to me and says I can save the firm $25 million by using these LLMs to improve our efficiency. Now, we're a nice-sized firm. We're not a huge firm. So imagine what big companies can do, and that's just one thing, okay? So it gives you a little bit of a look into what's right. Possible.
We don't have to imagine this. It is already happening. Mega caps like Meta and Alphabet, they are shrinking their workforces and shrinking their hiring. It's this idea that senior AI researchers or data analysts, they can do more with Gen AI than an army of junior engineers who code, even at non-strictly tech companies. AT&T, for example, is using generative AI to upgrade legacy software code. That's a process that typically would have required a team of consultants going through the old coding line by line, would have cost somewhere in the millions of dollars. Another big theme in AI that Cohen hit on, we don't yet know who the winners are.
You got to do the work and figure out, what companies are going to benefit. And frankly, it's going to be companies that you haven't even heard of. There'll be new companies. I mean, when you have technological change like this, it sort of reminds me of the 90s, where the best new companies came out of that period.
In the Bay Area, we talk a lot about AI wrapper companies. These are startups that build on top of foundational models. So can a better interface like Perplexity's chatbot, which draws from different LLMs, can that really challenge Google search dominance? We just don't know yet. But nearly everyone I talk to agrees with Cohen. This isn't like the dot-com bubble of 99. It's more like 95. We're just getting started and there's room to run. Although, guys, you can't invest in a lot of them. The ones that aren't household names yet, they're private. And there's a lot of incentive, and the private markets, especially for AI, are still flush with cash, perhaps providing more capital funding in the private markets for a lot of these companies.
So name some names for us, Deirdre. Who are you watching closest in the private markets?
So there's, of course, the OpenAI, the Anthropic with Claude 3 is getting a lot of attention. The Coheres of the world, which just raised money. Those are the ones who are building these foundational models, the LLMs. They take a huge amount of investment because they take a huge amount of compute power. That's why you see Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet investing in these companies. But the AI wrapper companies, this is sort of a different class, which may not need as much capital because they're not building these actual LLMs, the foundational models, they're building on top of them. So I mentioned a Perplexity, which uses ChatGPT-4, uses Claude, uses a lot of different engines to basically answer your questions. And it just has a better interface than a Google, right, which hasn't made that full leap to generative AI because they have this huge cash cow in search. So these are a few of them. But I will say the wrapper companies and even the foundational models, investors are starting to get a little more discerning, I think. And we've seen these huge funding rounds, which will probably continue, but you're going to see some of them kind of go under as well, which we already are.
And I was wondering when we'll see them start to go public.
Yeah, that's a different question. There is this sort of mentality in Silicon Valley right now that it's better to build in private, that you don't have to, get into the hamster wheel of quarterly reports or activist battles because they're building something that requires maybe a longer term, more losses in the short run. So I don't know if we're going to see any of that too soon, but I don't know. I mean, we've got Rubrik going public, and that could open the gates further. Despite talks of a bubble brewing around AI, hedge fund manager and Mets owner Steve Cohen thinks we have more room to run.
We're not in 99, okay? I mean, I don't think so. And so because I think it's a durable theme, I think, now, it doesn't mean it goes up in a straight line, right? I mean, it may take a while for this AI theme, you know, actually to really take hold within companies, and they're trying to figure out how to use it.
Now, nearly everyone I talked to in Silicon Valley, they agree with Cohen. They say that this isn't like the dot-com bubble of 99. It's more like 95. We're just getting started. But the problem this time around, Tyler, is that you can't invest in a lot of them. There's some big names like OpenAI and Anthropic. They're private. And then there's countless startups that are now just emerging. Y Combinator, they have this demo day of like the smallest, buzziest startup companies that graduate into this incubator program. They're kicking off today, and this year's batch, it includes 260 startups, and they say that more than half of them are building around AI in one form or another, which isn't surprising. I also thought that David Einhorn's comments on the IPO market were interesting. So are we going to be able to invest in the next
Microsoft, Google? That was what was interesting in light of this was the idea that the IPO market is not thriving, flourishing, blossoming. And so a lot of these things may stay public, stay private for a lot longer than normal.
What I hear from a lot of founders is that they don't necessarily want to go public because they're still in that building phase, right? Mm-hmm. And it's easier to do that in private than it is when you're kind of like a slave to the quarterly earnings cycle. But Einhorn was saying that the roadshow is flawed now because you used to have all of these long-only managers, medium-sized ones, and they would be there to buy the stocks, but you don't have as many of them.
You don't have
anymore.
As many of them as people have gone into indexing and taken money out of the active space. Well, it'll be very interesting to see exactly what happens with all of those companies.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.